Hi, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with Calvin, We This Species. Chronologically, it's November 2nd, and I'm back with John D'Amore. And John and I have a great history. The last 6, 7, 8, 9 years, how I met him, and I marvel at the universe for the connectivity, how we met. And I think it was Metuchen that first time, John. And you were doing a book reading in Metuchen. John is a best-selling author, and he's back in Jersey, although he's on the road now doing promo work for his latest book, which I'm going to hold up. I don't mind holding it up. It's Me and George. And boy, do I, you're going to talk about this. Boy, do I love the premise of this, because George Washington has always been a hero of mine. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But so he's back in New Jersey. He's promoting Me and George. One of John's taglines is he does it all himself. He's as independent and rugged an individualist. His work ethic is amazing. I was saying to John, and this is my Johnny Carson monologue, so just let me kind of run with it for a minute. But I said to him, you know, we've got all this commonality. We're Jersey guys. You know, I'm a Newark guy. You're right up the road from Newark. He's self-published, and the work ethic behind that is extraordinary. I know that because I'm self-published myself. And then we both have this great affectation with the movie Gunga Din. So that puts us in such a rare and special and precious, it's an old Bee Gees title, rare, precious, boom, whatever. And I'm just thrilled. And John also, he's really going to be back in Jersey on Saturday, November 19th at 1 o'clock. And you all will be able to see all this stuff when I post it. He's going to be doing a reading at the C. Warren Library, which is part of Woodbridge Township, 546 West Avenue, C. Warren, New Jersey. This is the flyer, but I'll have all of this for everybody to see. I just marvel. And not because you're sitting there in the land of grits. Can I say that?
You can say that.
So he's sitting there in the land of grits, and I can't help but thinking of Joe Pesci. I mean, really. I'm done with this monologue, and I'm just so thrilled that we can do this again, John, because you are a precious guy, and I've learned a bunch about you. So I guess take it away and a little bio and kind of bring people up to date.
Thank you, Cal. Well, a little bio becomes a little harder to do every year because something else gets added to it. But I certainly started life right outside of Manhattan in Hudson County, growing up in the shadows of New York City. And that allowed me to be exposed to things where the average kid growing up certainly would not have been exposed to. Certainly it had a lot to do with the entertainment industry that came out of that. And it also had a lot to do with the family that I was born and raised into. But I started life as a musician, very early age of 7. I wanted to play the drums, but we lived in a small 3-room apartment in Union City. So having a set of drums was not actually something in that could actually be in my future. I also then wanted to, I enjoyed looking at bass guitarists. Now, just understand, folks, that this was before the Beatles came to America. So I saw the bass guitar as something of interest, but my father very simply put it to me, you can't go anywhere and just pull out a bass guitar and entertain people. So he bought me a very inexpensive $35 wooden acoustic guitar with the strings about that much off the neck board. And so try being about 7.5 years old and pressing down on something like that. But every Saturday, either he or my mom took me to guitar lessons. And every night after we ate dinner, I had to do my homework for school. And then he made sure that I practiced no less than an hour. After about a year and a half, I got it. And I really loved playing the guitar. And I loved going to lessons every Saturday. And I loved learning about music. Then the Beatles hit, and that did it for me. Where the average kid stood, sat in front of that little black and white TV on February 9th, 1964, and lost their minds over these four guys, which I certainly did, but not for the same reason. I was looking at their hands on the necks of those guitars and yelling out to my parents, look, it's a D minor seventh and it's an A suspended or something like that. And so I just accelerated my interest in music from that point on. And after high school, of course, after being in all the local popular high school bands and playing in all the dances that we had at that time, I played in some bands that were very fortunate to play the Jersey Shore and in New York City after high school, and then went on in my 20s to become a session musician simply because of those guitar lessons I had taken back in my youth. And actually, I took lessons up until I was 21. So for 14 years, I learned everything I possibly could about the neck of that guitar and how to make it work for me, and had a great, great time. But then somewhere around in my mid-30s, the music had changed to something I no longer enjoyed. I had my run. I certainly wasn't going to become Bruce Springsteen or Eddie Van Halen by that point. So I changed careers and got involved in the corporate world. And I used my ability to be able that taught me to get up on stage and perform in front of anywhere from a few hundred to a few thousand people every night. And I used that ability in the corporate world to be able to do presentations at conventions and conferences and seminars for the next, 14, 15 years. At that point, the corporate world no longer interested me because I saw the people that I had to answer to in that environment and didn't want to grow up to be like them. So I threw away my ties and went out to California and got involved. I actually started writing the manuscript at that point for my first book, which was a memoir of something, there you go, The Boss Always Sits in the Back, which was a memoir of my me and my family back in New Jersey at that time, and some things that we did in Las Vegas. And I got involved in, oddly enough, the writing industry out there, but they don't read or write books in Los Angeles. They work on screenplays. So I spent about a year and a half of my time learning to do the best I could with screenplays. And at that point, I became what's called a script doctor. I wound up working for a lot of independent production companies, some of the studios, and did that for, again, about another 14, 15 years. And at that point, a lot of people were telling me that I should take that manuscript for that book that I wrote, which I had also turned into a screenplay, and publish it or get it published. And I tried. I tried real hard, but I could not find a legitimate agent either in LA or New York, because at that point I was an unknown. I had hit what they called the gray wall. Wanting to know what that was, it meant that I had reached an age where I was too old, they considered, to break into an industry where I should have broken into it when I was in my 20s. My argument was, how does somebody break into an industry with a memoir when you're spending your 20s and 30s experiencing that life to write about in that memoir? But doesn't matter what logic I used. The end result was that it was very difficult to find a legitimate agent. And without that agent, there was no way I was going to get a major publishing deal. It was also at that time, we're talking about 2011, to where self-publishing, or, you know, was became an event. It became something to do, thanks to the electronic age and the internet. I did it. I put the book out in 2012, and just had a wonderful run of success with it. Personally, I didn't know if I would ever write another book after that. After all, this was a memoir of some real life experiences that I had gone through that obviously many people, especially in the New Jersey, New York, Florida, Chicago, and Los Angeles area, enjoyed reading about. So after I toured on that for about 3.5 years, a lot of people who enjoyed the book wanted to know, what else did I have? When was I going to write something else? And I just used my creativity to come up with my next book, which was called Dead Fellas, a takeoff on obviously Goodfellas and zombies, which are always very popular. Or as we like to say in the movie industry, zombies are a genre that will never die, simply because they are zombies. But anyway, it was a very funny book, though obviously very well written, and it too did very well. And after that, I felt the need to keep my audience not just happy, but to expand my audience. So I continued to write books, but never two books in the same genre, which, if you talk to agents, is a bad thing to do. So my next book became The Delivery Man, a story about a vigilante who does the right thing for people who had wrong things done to them, followed by I then wanted to do something that wasn't so violent. So I came up with a romantic comedy called As Long as I Have Lips, followed that the following year by a female dominant drama of a woman who gets taken in life and wants to get her revenge, called Rub Down. And then I took my time. I didn't know what I wanted to write next, but I had started the idea of a book back in 1977 when I lived in New Jersey and was going to Bergen Community College at the time in Paramus. And every growing up in New Jersey, especially outside of Manhattan and in the Hudson and Bergen County area, you couldn't go a day without, if you lived in Hoboken, driving down Washington Street. You couldn't drive through Bergen County without going past Washington Township, which, oddly enough, New Jersey has three Washington Townships in it. You couldn't live in Hudson and Bergen County without seeing the George Washington Bridge. And in my case, when driving out to Paramus to go to Bergen Community College, you would drive past the George Washington Memorial Cemetery. And I always wondered, what would it be like for George Washington to come back and be able to see not just his effect on New Jersey, but on what started as the 13 colonies and grew to these great 50 states. So I came up with an idea back then wrote about it. And the funny thing that I also talk about from time to time is that when I originally came up with this idea, I would go into the library of Bergen Community College and I bought a ream of paper and I would bring a stack of quarters with me and went to the library where they had these IBM Selectric typewriters where you would put a quarter in like you would and push that quarter into the typewriter machine there, and you would get a half hour of typing time. And I typed out what I eventually became the first two or three chapters, maybe four, and then put it away because I was still involved in the music business and wound up touring and just figured I'd get to it someday. And then I did in the later on when I was in the corporate world, they gave me a laptop computer, which was relatively new to the world at that time. And I typed my, took everything that I had typed on paper and then put it into a DOS program, if people would remember what that's about. And then a couple of years later, had to retype it into a WordPerfect document. And then came the 2000s, where fortunately you were able to transfer it from WordPerfect into Word, Word 1 and Word 2 and Word 3. And but the best part was that every time I rewrote it, it went from the main character, who certainly lived in the modern times, you know, he did everything on a phone or a payphone, and then it became a phone and a fax machine, and then a beeper, and then payphones disappeared, and then eventually through emails, and of course now with the with what I eventually wrote about a year and a half ago, and was released oddly enough on February 22nd. 2022. So the date was 2/22/22 and George Washington's birthday. He has cell phones and he has a car that he could talk to and it answers him back, and the great technology that we have today. So I brought George Washington back, and that's why it's called Me and George. And it's written from the point of view of the writer, who some people say seems to be very much like me. And I had a very, it's sold and it has been selling very well. So I'm certainly happy about that. And I moved back to New Jersey a handful of months ago, if that. And once the local libraries and bookstores, and I'm sad to say, the bookstore that you and I met at, Cal, independent bookstores are closing and have been closing left and right. So please, folks, support your local bookstores. I know it's a lot easier to read reviews and sit at home and order them through Amazon or Barnes and Noble, but support your local bookstores because they're there for you. And the local, like I said, libraries and bookstores have been wonderful and have been asking me to come back and do readings. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, one of the people on the board of trustees of the C. Warren Library read The Boss Always Sits in the Back, and she just happened to be from Union City, where I was born and raised, and wrote about a lot in The Boss Always Sits in the Back, and contacted me and asked me if I would consider doing a reading there. And I'm honored to do it. And I hope that anybody who lives in the Woodbridge area or feels like taking a ride to that area will come and see me on November 19th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Perfect.
I'm sorry if my bio went a little long on that, but
Hey, I say this to you, you have such an amazing journey. Your bio, I mean, touching so many different things And I marvel at you because we share this great spark, and the spark is self-publishing. As I'm embarking now on the road to self-publishing my second novel, and I look at you, and I said, I can never be like John, because your energy level, your dedication, your commitment, your drive. I mean, I don't. If there's a potion to drink, I would drink it. But so I truly marvel at you, John. And being on the road, I know I can never go on the road because I can't. You can't see it, but I'm chained. There's a chain. There's a chain here that keeps me in my chair for 12 hours a day, and I don't have that luxury to explore the world. But what you do is it's just amazing. And yeah, I will try if the world is good to get there to see Warren Library, which is part of Woodbridge. We talked about that. Saturday, November 19th, 1 p.m., 546 West Avenue, Seawarren, New Jersey. And because of you, I spoke to Gail, who's affiliated with the library, and I'd like to do a story about the history, because there's a really nice history. It's an old building. And you know, we both lived in Jersey all our lives, most of our lives, and Seawarren is not, you know, high on a list of places to go visit, because it's just a small little section of Woodbridge. By the way, one quick little anecdote. I just love to hear you say it again. From The Boss Always Sits in the Back, this is really very special to me. But you had said to the powers that be that you wouldn't publish this until they were gone, out of respect, correct?
Yep, that's right.
See, I know a lot about you, John. I just thought that was really, really neat and very respectful. And again, this should be a movie. It should be, because it's so alive, and you know, you're writing it because you lived it. One quick question, the last maybe quick question is how in the world do you come up with all this stuff?
Well, I've always been very creative, whether it was musically or as an author or a screenwriter. I've always been creative. There are great stories out there. There are always things going on in our lives that are worth expanding on. And obviously The Boss is a very factual and true story. But even in all of my other books, there are little bits of real life that have happened to, if not me, others. And you use them because they are part of reality. And there's nothing better in a fictional story than little bits of reality. I mean, in all of my books, I use world events as the backdrop for the fiction that I use in those stories. And of course, the main thing is, you know, we can't always depend on our memory. Certainly, because, you know, we fill our brains up more today than our parents ever needed to. There is more things that we need to have access to in our brains. So you can't always recall the details when you need them, especially when you want to write about it. So certainly years ago, we all had notebooks that I would just keep a creative notebook, whether it was for writing lyrics, or maybe I had a chord pattern or something for music that I wanted to remember to use for something. And then even in my corporate world, you needed to write down, remember to contact this as a follow-up in business, you know, in 6 months or 8 months or 10 months from now. And thankfully, thanks to the electronic world, every time I have an idea in my computer right now, I have a file that is just, you know, titles for future books, names for future books, right, ideas for future stories, chapters, or maybe not chapters, but a few pages of use this, you know, and go back to it. I mean, that's what I did with Me and George. I started writing it on a typewriter in 1977. And,
wow.
And you know, obviously brought it to life in 2020 and 21 in order to release it for 2022. But how do I do it? I have, you know, I hear it all the time. People say to me, you know, I should write a book. I have great stories. Write them down. Put them down. You know, oh, I don't know how to write a book. That's okay. Nobody who never wrote a book before knew how to write a book. The object is to start one. And the best thing about it, folks, if I can give just a little bit of advice to those of you, because I do creative writing classes for high schools and colleges from time to time. I get asked to speak at them. It's very simply this. We are luckier now than ever before when it comes to writing. Think about the people who had to do it on parchment paper and a quill, and they had to write entire stories and then at some point go, I forgot to say this, or I think I should put this in, and they'd have to write that page all over again, and maybe that entire chapter all over again. And then think about, you know, back in the early 1900s up until the 80s, where it had to be done on old, whether it was an old typewriter or an electric typewriter. There was no memory up until that time. So if you wrote something and then you had to, you wanted to rewrite it, you had to do that. But the great part is with computers, you don't even need to write in a linear fashion, meaning type in chapter one and go from there. When I started writing The Boss, I thought chapter one would take place on my 22nd birthday. And as I started writing that chapter, I realized I couldn't tell that part of the story without telling a little backstory first. So chapter one became chapter two as I wrote my backstory. And then as I started getting into the book, I realized I couldn't tell that following chapter unless I told more of some backstory. So what actually started as chapter one is now chapter five.
Well,
because we have that ability with computers. And also, I had ideas that I wanted to put in the book, but it wasn't up to that point yet. So I would write a section or a chapter, save it, put it someplace else. And then when I got to that part in the book, I took that section that I had saved from that particular file and cut and pasted into what I was writing. We are extremely lucky now. And we also have, you know, parts in a computer that will help you correct your misspellings. And, you know, especially for you folks who use the wrong there, they are there and T-H-E-I-R and T-H-E-R-E and the wrong two and the wrong weight. There are so many different things. And as an editor, when I was editing back in California, you'd be surprised how many good writers just miss that. So if you do have stories that you want to write, you can write them if you really dedicate yourself to it. There you go.
Perfect. That's a great way to kind of sign off. That's wonderful words of wisdom. And again, from somebody who has done it, I can certainly identify with your words and feel your words and know your words, because that's me. I've done this now twice. I have a couple more left inside me. I'm going to write a novella. I don't have the strength to write a long novel. I'm going to write a novella next, a comedy. I've never done that. I've always done serious stuff, heavy stuff. But next up. But anyway, John, I love you, man. And it's a great friendship. I marvel. Yeah,
thank you very much. I love you too. I really do. And I love what we do.
Yep. Okay. Yep, yep, yep. So I love saying come back, because you will. And we'll come back and talk about the next project. And I'm always here for you. We talked about before you went on air the institution of loyalty, how important it is. It's a great thing. I am hugely.
If I can get one little plug in.
Yes.
Folks, if you'd like to read some of my books, certainly you can. Unfortunately, like I just said, get into bookstores. But if you order them on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, you can get them there. But if you want signed copies of my books, please go to John DeMore, JONDAMORE.com. Go there. Go to the buy page. You can also read the synopsis for each of my books. It's on the website. You could buy one or all six of my books, where I have combo packs at discounted rates, and I'd be happy to sign them to you. Right. Thank you, Cal.
By the way, your website, I just want to say I spent time there. It's kind of like a museum with the pictures you have up there. My goodness, the picture. You asked me before we went on air, do I have any pictures? I said, you're kidding me? I have hundreds of you. So I will never run out of pictures of you. But it's kind of like a museum, the people you've met on your journey, and so many different, from music to literature to acting. And I mean, it's just a great, it's an interesting website. I got a kick out of it. Truly. And then you start to recognize some people you've seen, like in The Sopranos. So it's a great website. People should go there. People should try to get to see Warren on the 19th. Again, thank you. Please come back. And I only wish you good things, John.
Thank you very much, Cal. You can count on me coming back.
Absolutely. Okay. Don't leave. I'm just going to stop the recording.